scenery. Lobsang heard running feet up on the main path. Down here, humming birds flickered from flower to flower, oblivious to any excitement. "I wonder what the time is," said Lu Tse, who was walking ahead. "Everything is a test." Lobsang glanced around at the flowerbed. 9:15, he said.
"Oh? And how do you know that?"
"The field marigold is open, the red sandwort is opening, the purple bindweed is closed, and the yellow goatsbeard is closing," said Lobsang.
"You worked out the floral clock all by yourself?"
"Yes, it's obvious."
"Really? What time is it when the white water lily opens?"
6:00.
"You came to look?"
"Yes. You planted this garden, did you?"
"One of my little efforts."
"It's beautiful."
"It's not very accurate in the small hours. There aren't too many night-blooming plants that grow well up here. They open for the moths, you know."
"It's how time wants to be measured," said Lobsang.
"Really? Of course, I'm not an expert," said Lu Tse.
He pinched out the end of his cigarette and stuck it behind his ear.
"Oh, well, let's keep going. Everyone may have stopped arguing at cross purposes by now. How do you feel about going through the Mandala Hall again?"
"Oh, I'll be fine. I'd just forgotten about it, that's all."
"Really? And you'd never seen it before, too. But time plays funny tricks on us all. Why, I once..."
Lu Tse stopped and stared at the apprentice.
"Are you all right?" he said. "You've gone pale."
Lobsang grimaced and shook his head.
"Something felt odd," he said.
He waved a hand vaguely in the direction of the lowlands, spread out in a blue and grey pattern on the horizon. "Something over there." The glass clock. The great glass house, and here, where it shouldn't be, the glass clock. It was barely here. It showed up as shimmering lines in the air, as if it was possible to capture the sparkle of light off a shiny surface without the surface itself. Everything here was transparent. Delicate chairs, tables, vases of flowers. And now he realised that glass was not a word to use here. Crystal might be better, or ice. The thin, flawless ice you sometimes got after a sharp frost. Everything was visible only by its edges. He could make out staircases through distant walls. Above and below and to every side, the glass rooms went on forever. And yet, it was all familiar. It felt like home. Sound filled the glass rooms. It streamed away in clear, sharp notes, like the tones made by a wet finger around a wineglass rim. There was movement, too, a haze in the air beyond the transparent walls, shifting and wavering and watching him.
"How can it come from over there, and how do you mean odd?" said the voice of Lu Tse.
Lobsang blinked. This was the odd place, the one right here, the rigid and unbending world. And then the feeling passed and faded.
"Just odd,
for a moment," he mumbled. There was dampness on his cheek. He raised his hand and touched wetness.
"It's that rancid yak butter they put in the tea. I've always said so," said Lu Tse. "Mrs. Cosmopolite's never..." "Now that is unusual," he said, looking up.
"What? What?" said Lobsang, looking blankly at his wet fingertips and then up at the cloudless sky.
"A procrastinator going over speed."
He shifted position.
"Can't you feel it?"
"I can't hear anything," said Lobsang.
"Not here. Feel. Coming up through your sandals. Oops. There goes another one. And another. You can't feel it? That's old 66. They've never got it properly balanced. We'll hear them in a minute. Oh, dear, look at their flowers. Do look at their flowers."
Lobsang turned. The ice plants were opening. The field sow thistle was closing.
"Time leak," said Lu Tse. "Hark at that. You can hear them now, eh? They're dumping time randomly. Come on."
According to the second scroll of When the Eternally Surprised, when the Eternally Surprised sawed the first procrastinator from the trunk of a...